In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. It's now 1 week since our entrance or commencement of our fast or entrance in the Great Fast, and I'm so encouraged to see and read various posts on different social media platforms, ranging from verses from the Holy Scriptures, quotes from the Church Fathers, personal advices and experiences, and all pertaining to fasting, and in particular, giving up, refraining from whatever it is during Lent. But two very important points, beloved. Number one is that it's not a mere refraining from or giving up, but rather repenting, ceasing, doing away, cutting off, and not so much food alone. And the second point is that it's not only during the period of Lent that we need to repent or give up, but continually, indefinitely, constantly, daily. Why? Well, if we're during this time of Lent, we are to cancel out all distractions, desires, our habits, and to be attentive to the word or the voice of God, which means to be obedient, not only listen, but to be obedient to the word of God, then the word of God is not for a certain period of time only. That is, not only for 40 days of the 365 days of the year, not only the 7 weeks of the 52 weeks of the year. It's like when we are at church, we're such good people at church. We become emotionally spirit moved. We're at church. Some continue to disrespect the sanctified sanctuary by being on their phones, on their social medias, and the phone rings, and they're texting one another, or they're talking constantly, disrupting another person's spiritual mood or spiritual focus. Right? But most people are very good at church. But once we leave church, literally all hell breaks loose. So when we're at church and we are good people at church, it doesn't mean that as soon as we leave the church, then we go back to our old rigmaroles. No, we need to continue to live the church life. And we spoke about the church and what we miss out when we don't attend church. So too, the word of God is not temporal, beloved. Let's look at some scriptures. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass dries up and the flower fades, and the word of God stands for eternities. Not only for a certain period of time, not only when you're sick, not only when you're happy, not only when you're mourning, but every day of our lives. And I love Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Thus my word shall be that proceeds from my mouth, and it shall not return to me empty-handed, but surely it does the thing that I please and accomplishes that for which I have sent it. Not only at one period of time, but continuously. It's alive, beloved. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away. Now let's go back. Isaiah 55 and Isaiah 40. This is God speaking. Look at what Jesus says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, because he is God. Praise and glory be to his name. He's not claiming what the Father has unrighteously. No. He is God, and he can claim it rightly. So when we are instructed to fast in the Holy Scriptures, that is Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. When you fast, for those who are trying to convince you that you don't need to fast, because they don't want to fast. They don't want to humble themselves. They don't want to ruffle the feathers of their physical and the fleshly desires. No, no, no. Jesus said, when you fast, there is going to come a time that you need to fast. But when you fast, according to scriptures, and we're being obedient now, right? When you fast, and the matter of fasting, Jesus continues to say, do not look sad like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so that it may appear to men that they are fasting. Truly I say to you that they have already received their reward, the manna. But rather, continues verses 17 and 18, but as for you, when you fast, wash your face and anoint your head so that it may not appear to men that you are fasting, but your Father who is in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You may be saying, well, there you go. But it's exactly, this pertains to this period now, this period where fasting and Jesus is giving us instructions. Let's go on before we expand on this. The conduct of our fasting, the conducts and the deeds during our fasting in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 5 and 6, to loosen the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke, to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Now we're going into, is this only for when we are fasting? So your charitable deeds only are accepted and are valid and are required and demanded by God, commanded by God, only during a period of fasting. Only 7 weeks of the 52 weeks of the year, only 40 days of the 365 days of the year. Yes, we do fast 40 days, by the way. But we're not going to go into that. Maybe another episode. The epistle for the Sunday entering the grave fast. By the way, were you at church when you commence your fast, when you enter the period of the fast? It's encouraging in one way, discouraging in many ways, that you see that on the first Sunday of the beginning of fast, Lent, there are more people at church. That's encouraging because you know that these people most probably are going to commence fast. But it's discouraging that coming to church is not only for fasting and celebrating the resurrection or the birth of Jesus Christ or holding branches of olive branches and saying, Hosanna. No, every week there is church. There are more services during the week on special occasions, but every Sunday there is church. Not only just coming to church for that specific function or that specific event. So were you at church when you kicked off your fast? Anyway, if you weren't, God bless you, and if you're fasting, I pray that the Lord will hear your supplications and accept and be appeased with your fasting. But if you read the epistle reading that was presented on that Sunday, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32, then chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, and then chapter 5, verses 15 to 21, let me summarize some significant instructions. And isn't it beautiful how the church fathers and the orders of the church, the liturgy of the church, the ecclesiastical calendar of the church, that during the entrance of the feast of the great fast, the epistle reading is from Ephesians, and there's some instructions there, and we're going to talk about that. Paul says to put aside lying. Yeah, Rabbi, you know, during fast, I'm trying my best to, you know, not to say any fibs. I'm trying my best not to lie and speak the truth. God bless you. Be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun set on your anger. You know, I'm sort of taming myself now. I'm still, you know, dropping the ball. I still, fall and stumble, but I'm trying. God bless you. Do not give place to the slanderers. You know, I'm away from those who are constantly mocking. I'm not joking much. I'm more serious. I'm humble. And that's how we should be, by the way. Beloved, you can't fast and be in a hookah lounge or in a restaurant drinking, and there's social events, activities going on, and you're still enjoying your social your social life. That's not fasting. It's a period of a contrite spirit, humbling yourself. It's a period of entering your wilderness, just as Jesus Christ did. Entered the wilderness, a place of barren. There is no joy. There is no socializing. There is no alcohol. There is no such element that will fulfill my desires. No, that's how we are fasting. We have entered that barren land. Paul goes on to say, do not steal, find a job, get a job, earn so that you can help the needy. Those who are constantly making a living through distortion and deceptions, well, St. Paul says, no, you need to cut that out. So if you're into that and you're fasting, but you're still defrauding people, well, the fast is not pleasing to God. It's only a diet. Do not utter hateful words so that you do not grieve, disappoint the Holy Spirit. Now, this was the reading on the Sunday entering the great fast. Yes, I'm trying to do that. You know, I'm trying my best to do that. Expel the bitterness, the fury, the rage, the clamor, the insults, the wickedness from you. Expel them. I'm trying my best. This is what I'm doing. I know it's not the food factor that is so much important, but how we conduct ourselves. Great. A lot more than impossible burgers, isn't it? What St. Paul is saying, it's a lot more than impossible or Boca burgers, a lot more than Pachen and Marchanos and Marche, because some people harp on the element of the food. But go back and read these verses, Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. He continues, be sweet, be affectionate, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ. Be imitators of God and walk in love. Fornication, sex before marriage. I don't care, it's love. No, that's not the love that God is pleased with. When it comes to intimacy, God is only pleased with the bridal chamber or the bed or the mattress of a husband and wife who have been joined together in holy matrimony in the church by the priest. Regardless of what the world teaches now and how people perceive love, fornication, all impurity, and greed are not even to be named at all among you. Fornication. Don't tell me I love this person. I want to share my love with this person. If you're fasting and you're still sharing your mattress with a partner, that is fornication. As it is appropriate for saints, do away with abusive language, worthless words of disgrace, nonsense and unnecessary, but in place of these, thanksgiving. You know that no fornicators, impure or greedy persons, who is an idol worshipper, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. These are from the scriptures. These are from the scriptures, beloved. So yes, during fast, I abstain from that. But as soon as fast is over, well, is all hell going to break loose? Now, just because these scriptures, the epistle was read on the first day of entering the great fast, it is not limited to just those 7 weeks and those 40 days, beloved. No, it is continuous. And it's not a mere giving up, refraining. It's repenting, ceasing, doing away with what we are fasting now. Doing away of what has brought us down to stooped us to such a low level that we cannot even lift up our face to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy upon us. But we bow our heads and ask God to forgive us. So what are you giving up during this Lent? First and foremost, that should be all dairy and poultry and meat products. Why? People ask, why food? Well, when you read those who offered their fast, the prophets, Jesus himself, he didn't eat anything. They offered a fast of what was from the land. Adam, when Adam was created, beloved, when Adam was fashioned, he was a herbivore. He wasn't a carnivore. Some animals are known to be both herbivore and carnivore. They can survive in both characteristics, lack of a better term. Adam was a herbivore. When did he become a carnivore? Is when sin entered. When sin entered the world, and through sin death entered, that's when animals were to be slaughtered and to be consumed. So when we abstain from dairy, poultry, and meat products, the church is teaching us, the fathers are teaching us, God is teaching us, reminding us that you were at one time sinless, but you dropped the ball because you disobeyed me. You disobeyed me. So during this time, not only the meat products, obviously, but most importantly, we have to give away, repent, seize our disgraceful and putrid deeds, beloved. And again, not merely give them up for a period of time, but repent from them, cast them away, put them away, get rid of them. Not only during Lent, but every day of our life. St. John Chrysostom writes on fasting. Are you fasting? So this is a question of one of the church fathers to all of us. Are you fasting? Yes. Show me your fast with your works. This is what James says in James chapter 2, verse 18, when he talks about faith and deeds and works. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith with deeds. Show me your works. And if we ask, which works? And he continues, if you see someone who is poor, show him mercy. If you see any enemy, reconcile with him. If you see a friend who is becoming, let me go back. If you see an enemy, reconcile with him. Are you fasting? Do you have enemies? Do you have people that you have a beef with? You have people that you have some sort of an issue with? You need to reconcile with these people, beloved. And Christ has given us the procedure. Let's go back and read the gospel. And I'm not just going to give you the chapter and the verses. Read the entire gospel of Matthew. If you see an enemy, reconcile with him. If you see a friend who is becoming successful, do not be jealous of him. If you see a beautiful woman on the street, pass her by. No wolf whistles and lust in your mind, because that is fornication, Jesus said. Go away, steer away. In other words, not only should the mouth, he continues, not only should the mouth fast, but the eyes and the legs and the arms and all other parts of the body. Listen to me, gentlemen and ladies. All the parts of the body should be fasting that have defiled us. He continues, let the hands fast, remaining clean from stealing and greediness and sexual immorality. Let the legs fast, avoiding roads which lead to sinful sights. If you're going to go to a certain place, a certain avenue, a certain event, a certain venue, and you know that there are sinful sights, during this time, fast, avoid, repent. Let the eyes fast by not fixing themselves on beautiful faces and by not observing the beauty of others. Even if they are being advertised, No, you avoid it. And those who advertise their beauty, those who want to show their beauty and their glamour and their figure and their beauty, you need to repent from that as well. You are not eating meat, he continues, are you? Well, you should not eat debauchery, wickedness with your eyes as well. Let your hearing also fast. The fast of hearing is not to accept bad talk against others and slay defamation and songs of cussing during fast. You don't do that. You can't be fasting and hearing a song that every third word is a F-bomb. You can't. That's not fasting, beloved. That's still fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and you want to hear all these songs and this music. Let the mouth fast from disgraceful and abusive words, because what gain is there when, on the one hand, we avoid eating chicken and fish, that's what he writes, chicken and fish, and on the other, we chew up the and consume our brother's gossip. Away from gossip. Give up gossip and repent from gossip. Beloved, during this period of fasting, if you haven't noticed yet, well, be prepared. And this is a warning and this is a wake-up call. You have entered the battle of food, and not only food, gluttony. You have entered a battle of testing God. Now, how gluttony, how food? You know, we're constantly, as I said, we're constantly, so mindful of what goes in our mouths and be careful. You know, there's a speck or there's a speck of powder of milk in product in this because you read the ingredients and we're so into it. And then we're constantly, I'm hungry. I just need to eat. Don't worry about food too much, beloved. Our forefathers used to eat 50 dinners, 50 meals and for supper. We've entered a period of a battle of the food. We're missing our daily food. We have entered a battle of testing God. Don't test God. God, if you give me this, and my fasting is so that you can give me this. No. God, Father, I fast because I am not worthy. I have sinned. Forgive me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, forgive me for I have sinned. I am a sinner. Period. I don't need anything from God, only Lord, to have mercy on me. And we have entered the battle of glory and the wonders of this world. Each time you turn on the television, there it is. When you go on your Instagram and your social media, there it is. It's constantly before you. All the sexual immorality, all the trickery, all the enticements are always there. And Satan will intensify these attacks on you. But what do? You repent from them. When you click on enter button, when you click on that enter to enter that site, don't do that. Don't. When you want to get on your phone and let me see what's happening on TikTok, 90% is foul. Don't do that. Go away, steer away from that, in particular during this time of Lent. However, it does not give us the right to go back like a dog that returns to his vomit. You abstained from immorality, God bless you. You've abstained from fornication. If not, don't fast. I recommend you visit In-N-Out and McDonald's and what have you. If you're in fornication and debauchery and gossip and hatred and you have no compassion of those that are poor, your fast is useless, I will say that. But when you are fasting and you have ceased from this and you're repenting, it does not mean then after the fast is finished, the period of fast, you go back and you've missed it so much and you intensified threefold. It's still a sin. It is still abhorred by God, beloved. So during this time, as you are offering your fast, and you're taming the body, you are taking full control of your flesh and the desires of your flesh, and you're continuing in prayer, and reading the Holy Scriptures and reading the lives of the holy saints of our Lord, and you're attending church, you're partaking in the all-sanctifying body and blood, if it's just mere bread and wine, well, those in 1 Corinthians who were not worthy to partake of this bread, this normal bread, why were they falling asleep? What was in this bread? It is the body of Christ, beloved. You shall eat the bread I give you. You shall eat my body. You shall drink my blood. The bread I give you, the body that you will have to partake in. He who does not eat the body of the Son of Man and does not drink his blood has no life in him. Jesus took bread and said, this is my body. So you need to also attend the holy sacraments of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And once the period is over, you continue. Continue to live in that holiness. Yes, we may fall, we may drop the ball, we may stumble. But hey, nothing is holding you back to come back and fast one more time. And beloved, what the battles I was talking about of food, testing God, and glory and wonders of the world were the temptations that Satan, in his trickery, in his dare, tempted Jesus Christ, but Christ overcame and Christ hammered Satan. We have that power, especially during this period of time and continuing and extending for every day of our life. Praise and glory be to Jesus Christ, our Lord, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.